From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another Locked On Chiefs, and today, by the way, I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Really appreciate you guys listening and all of the comments and iTunes reviews we get. Thank you very much. And today we're going to have another Chiefs mailbag.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, slowing down for us over there. So you can find most of my stuff at LockedOnChiefs.com. And later in the season, you'll probably see some things over at ChiefsDigest.com as well. Still working with Matt Derrick, who you'll hear later in the week. And make sure that you are checking out RGR Football on YouTube. Things are starting to take off. We're having some good conversation over there wrapped around the videos as well. So please check that out and see what you think.
Our first question today is from B Forever Royal 85. He says, correct me if I'm wrong. If the Chiefs O-line can keep a great pocket for Patrick Mahomes, like in the preseason last year on that first deep shot to Honey Thunder against the Titans, we may be just untouchable.
I just love the way people refer to him by his nickname.
Yeah.
Never going to get old with Honey Thunder.
That's his Twitter handle.
I hear you. You know, I think the pocket is important. I've been talking most of the offseason specifically about it because I think it's probably the one thing that has, you know, the most effect on a young quarterback, even if he is Pat Mahomes and he is mobile. So I am still a little concerned about that. I'm very interested to see what happens with the right guard spot.
So do you agree or disagree that they'll be untouchable?
I don't know. Nobody's untouchable. Even if you get good offensive line play, nobody's untouchable. You're going to hear, you may have heard, depending on the order these come out, you may have heard Matt Waldman even talk about, even when he's on, he's going to make mistakes. And I've been talking about that most of the offseason as well. So give him a little grace and a little latitude because I think he is going to do a good job.
I agree with that statement. I don't think they're going to be untouchable, but I think they're going to be very hard to beat if he is able to do what he does best. And I think Andy Reid is going to use him in that fashion and game plan around his strengths.
Yeah.
So next question, this is from PP Flum or Paul Flum. Just curious, what are your day jobs? He says he loves the podcast.
Yeah, I wish it was more exciting. I'm an engineer. I work for a Fortune 15 company and travel around a little bit. I work in healthcare as well.
I'm a CPA, so it is my slow time of the year right now, and that is why you heard Ryan a little bit more in March and April and maybe even a little bit in February than you heard me. So that is what I do daily. Not a ton of fun, but it keeps me busy, and it's been something I've been doing for quite a while. So
pay them bills.
Yep. And you are in healthcare. It just seems so weird to me, but
yeah, well,
is what it is. Next question is from Clint McKenzie. Why does God hate the Chiefs? just kidding. Do you expect to see DOD get significant playing time this season?
The Department of the Defense does not actually play defense.
Okay. And how about Tano?
Oh yeah, him too. Are we calling who's DOD? Who are we calling that?
Dorian O'Daniel.
Oh, okay. I was going with double D. You know. Anyway, different conversation.
Keep this child appropriate, please.
Right. Sorry for all you listening in the car with your kids. Honestly, I think O'Daniel plays quite a bit. Therese, I don't know. Again, not sure when you all are going to hear this because of the scheduling and everything, but if you haven't heard Therese yet, he'll be up soon. We had a great talk with him, and it's been a little bit. I feel like O'Daniel is a guy that has more of the traits that the Chiefs need to play, 12 yards, 10 yards, and in to the line of scrimmage, where they've tried to play Daniel Sorensen. I am very much of the opinion that Sorensen is not as good in the box as O'Daniel can be, and I don't think he can play in the back end either. So I think what you see is that O'Daniel starts to play probably by, I don't know, game six, game eight, and from there on out has the majority of the snaps at that position.
I would agree. I think that Dorian O'Daniel is going to get a lot of playing time. I think they brought him in for a specific purpose, and I'm not going to say that purpose was to get rid of Daniel Sorensen, but what I will say is that it is brought in so they can stay in more of a base-type package and keep Hitchens on the field along with Ragland. So I think he's going to play a lot. What do you think about – well, it's going to be in sub-packages, obviously. It's specific alignments that are going to bring him on the field. What do you think about Tano Passanio this year?
No, I like Tano, and I think what you're going to find – is in camp, it's going to be about what kind of progress he's made in this offseason. And if he's been able to get quicker, to understand his role better, to be able to work on his lateral strength, his functional strength in setting the edge, you can see that they went after Speak specifically for the run game, for setting the edge. And being able to not get beat up on early downs and put yourself in the hole for late downs. If he has made progress, I think that will be a big boon for him, and he will be in the rotation. The other thing that could happen, he could be in the rotation right off the bat if D-Ford's still not ready to go. And then I think you're looking at – they're going to start Speaks because they invested highly in him, and they feel like he's the fit. And maybe I get the impression that Veach feels like Tano's still a work in progress, and I want to think that Speaks will probably start over him if D-Ford's not able to go. But he's going to get a lot of reps that way.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a lot of reps, and I think that he is going to be a guy that is going to get some playing time in this Chiefs defense just because I think he brings a different element than the rest of the defense does. He can play multiple different positions, and he is very large, and he can move pretty well for a guy his size. He's not going to give you what D-Ford can, obviously, on the edge as a rusher, but I do think there is value in what he brings to this team.
I concur.
Well, thank you for concurring. Next question is from Keith McLean. And this one's a little bit of a jokey question. If you had one meal to eat at Joe's KC, what would you order?
You go first.
That's really hard for me. Is it one meal? Is it just my last meal ever? Is it just, I mean,
like literally?
Yeah. For me, one meal at Joe's, it's going to be a Z-Man, and it's also going to be a small bowl of the gumbo that they have.
I always forget about the gumbo.
Man. So good. So good.
You know, I'm a little bit more picky. Like, if I had one thing to eat there at all, it would probably be ribs. But, you know, I'm kind of I'm a guy that can't eat there very often anymore. So I'd probably have to go with my favorite, the chicken Z-Man. And then I'd have to have a little side of a couple of ribs. Or, man, if Joe's would do burn ends, I would be much happier.
They have burn
ends. The last time I was there, they did not. And that was... maybe the location I went to, because I went to Olathe.
They have burn-ins.
Okay, good. Then I feel much better. So it would then be Chicken Z-Man and burn-ins.
Next question from paid regular or Hunter Baxter. Do you think the offense is pass happy this year or balanced so as last season or balanced more like last season? And then how do you feel about Armani starting?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Armani Watts, I have a video up on RGR Football, and I'll tell you exactly how I feel about him. But I think he is the guy that's probably most likely to start with Eric Berry. But he definitely has some things about him that you got to pay attention to, and I think he and Eric Murray are probably in for a battle for that free-ish safety spot. What was the other part of the question?
Do you think the offense is going to be more pass-happy or is it going to be balanced like last year?
Man, last year wasn't very balanced unless you count, you know, one side of the scale slammed to the floor. They only ran like 34% last year. So for me, that's not enough. I think it's likely it's most likely to be right about the same. I think I'd love to say that Eric Bieniemy has more influence to try and run the ball more, but I have a feeling that's probably not there yet. I think Andy Reid is aware of the fact that you protect Pat Mahomes when you run the ball. And I think that's part of what you see with all these running backs that are in camp. Not just because a lot of them can catch out of the backfield, but I think he saw some things on Texas Tech's film where they ran double halfbacks, where they ran some guys that really weren't fullbacks, but they ran them in more of an eye or an offset eye configuration. And I think that's some interesting thing that, you know, once Andy gets a hold of it, he's going to be, you know, his ears will perk up when he goes, oh, I could do this with that and I could move this around. And there's a lot of ideas there. So I would like to say that they're going to actually run the ball more, but I don't know.
I think Armani does have a good chance to start this season. It's a question whether or not he's going to be able to stay healthy and he can challenge. Because honestly, I don't think there is a great fit other than him at that free safety position for Kansas City. As far as the offense is concerned, I'm not 100% sure what I think right now. I think we're going to have to wait and see how training camp shakes out and how they're looking in preseason before we're really going to have an idea as to what the offense could look like this year, because I do think that they're going to throw maybe a little bit more than they did last year, but I don't know that I would necessarily call it pass happy. Pass happy to me is, you know, 80%. I don't know that they'll get that much, but maybe they will. I think they're really going to take advantage of what Pat Mahomes does the best. And running in the back, I will say that running is going to take a little bit of a backseat, but Andy Reid has always thought that passes to the running backs out of the backfield were runs, even though they're technically not. So you have to look at that as well.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And this is a good spot to take a second. We'll be right back.
Next question, another one from Keith McLean, 78. What are your all-time, since you've been a fan, Chiefs starting QB, running back, fullback, wide receiver, or tight end, and tight end?
Oh, wow. Should we go position by position?
Yep. Favorite QB?
I was pretty partial to Dave Craig, but, I mean, can you pick somebody besides Lenny or Montana? For me, it'd be Montana.
Well, since you've been a fan, so I don't think you were a fan when Lenny was playing.
No, that okay. That's great.
I know you're old, but
shut up. Whatever.
If you're that old, I'm a little surprised. Well, don't think you're quite that old.
No.
Joe Montana for me. Trent Green's probably a very close second. I had a lot of fun watching him. Favorite running back.
This should not be a surprise to anyone who's ever listened to this show for 5 seconds. Christian Okoye.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a surprise to me at all. I will say probably Priest Holmes. I really liked what Jamal Charles brought, but I just liked watching Priest play and the way he played and what he was able to do on the field.
You know what? Let me talk about my dream backfield when we're done with this, because I just want to go into that a little bit.
Of course you do. Favorite fullback?
T. Rich. There's no question.
Yeah. Have to agree with that. Favorite wide receiver?
Oh, man. It's a tough one. But I'm going to go with Alexander.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I like the game. If you say Andre Rison to me, we're done. I'm just telling you.
It's funny you say that because he actually did pop into my mind. I just really loved his energy. So that's more so probably what it is for me than anything else. Willie Davis.
Oh, really? Wow.
He was part of the offense when I was growing up as a kid, so I think that kind of really won him over for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Tight end.
Is it really a question?
Jason Dunn.
No.
Yeah. That is the most real answer you've ever given.
No, the guy he played with, the Hall of Famer. Come on, Tony.
He's not a Hall of Famer yet.
Will be.
No, I would have to agree. Tony Gonzalez probably is up there, is my favorite tight end. There were, you know, Travis Kelce has been fantastic, but he's not on the same level yet. So
we're close. Catch me 60 touchdowns and we can start talking.
Well, you know, actually, and this, I didn't get to say this when we were talking to Matt Waldman. And again, that might not be a show that's been played yet, so I apologize. But you will hear him talking about Alex Smith and the differences between Smith and Mahomes. And one of the things that he said was, and I think we're talking more specifically, Chris Conley doesn't get a ton of separation, so he hasn't been used as much by Alex Smith. I think there's a lot to be said about that when it comes to Travis Kelce as well. I think Kelsey's going to have a much bigger role, especially in the red zone, where he should be dominant.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, Pitmaster 667 asks, which Chiefs positional group depth are you most worried about?
Corner.
Can't argue with that.
Let's back up 1 second then, if we're not going to argue about that. Best all-time backfield, not necessarily the guys that played together or played on the field at the same time. If you had it to do, running back, fullback.
Running back, and fullback?
Yeah. Because this is my world, and there's a wishbone involved.
Holmes, Charles, and T-Rich.
Okay. It certainly makes sense. I would go with Okoye, T-Rich, and Charles because I think you can do anything with those three.
That's fair. You know, and Okoye played some fullback from time to time as well. So,
yeah, so that's what you can get, that reverse wishbone with Jamal on the back with him and T-Rich on the wings.
Okay, you're done. You're done.
Nobody has any teeth when that's over.
You're done. And, okay. and then they put in John Lynch and he gets hit and he's done.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Dan Rules USUC asks, any chance Eligwe or McQuay have an impact this year?
On special teams, yes. On the field, I think probably Eligwe has a better path to actually being on the field on defense.
I don't even know if McQuay's on this team.
He is currently, yes.
Well, no, I mean when...
Oh, you mean when Nell comes down?
Yes.
Yeah. And then that's a fair question. I think Stearns has had a pretty good start to his offseason in terms of team movement. And if you're talking about keeping Sorensen, you have Watts, Murray, Berry, Sorensen. That's four. O'Daniel, do you count him as a safety? You're going to count him as a linebacker? That affects both the guys we're talking about. So I think McQuay's got a rough road ahead of him.
I do think Eligwe is going to be a very solid special teamer this year. I don't think he gets on the field just because of the guys in front of him. I don't think he can replace Ragland or Hitchens. But I do think that he is going to be a very solid special teamer and maybe even better than solid.
Yeah. He's shown a knack.
Yep. And another question from Keith McLean. Who do you think will be the bigger national media darling after this next season? Of Mahomes, Watson, Garoppolo, or Goff?
Wow, that's a good question.
Oh, that's a fantastic question.
Clearly, I think the guy that is set up to succeed in terms of winning games the most is Goff. He can rely on that defense. He's got some weapons. I don't like his weapons that much, to tell you the truth. I mean, no more so than what Pat has in Tyreek and Sammy and Chris and Kelce.
And Hunt.
Yeah, I'm just talking about passing numbers. When you're talking about all quarterbacks, that's really what it comes down to for me.
Right.
But
running backs out of the backfield are a big part as well. I mean, Goff has Gurley, and that's a huge part of their offense. So,
true.
That's my point.
That is a good point. Man, that is a great question. It's hard, really, to see down the road that far. But I think Mahomes would be in the conversation. Is he that far ahead? I don't know. I think it may end up Goff.
I'm going to make the argument that it's Watson. And it's simply because Houston has been so long without having a good quarterback. A good, yeah, consistent quarterback.
What New Hopkins can do with a good quarterback is going to be scary.
Right. And I still think Mahomes is going to be better than Watson, but is he going to be better than him this year? I'm not sure. Okay. So I just think that if you look at what Houston has had at quarterback for the past, 20 years, who's their last good quarterback? Actually good quarterback.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Moon?
Yeah. I mean,
that's going back quite a bit. In Garoppolo and in San Francisco, you have questions, about who's the last good quarterback for San Francisco. I mean, Alex Smith had good years. Colin Kaepernick had good years. Steve Young, obviously, but that's still going back quite a bit. I just think that Watson is going to be the guy that is going to be the biggest media darling. And that also, I'll expand on that a little bit more just because of the fact that he was also kind of the media darling already.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they went off when he just tore the league up. So I think he's already well on his way.
Good point. Let's take a second, then we'll come up and hit the last questions.
Last question from not_seaworthy. Do you see Reed bringing any of the air raid offense to Kansas City since he added some of the offense that Smith used in Utah?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, unequivocally, yes.
Yeah, my only question is how much and how he twists it. It's not going to be an air raid. It's going to be Andy's version of a spread concept. I don't think you're going to see the same route concepts because Andy likes to do things in a specific way. I think you're going to see more levels, especially on early downs, where they can get crossers at multiple levels. And then I think finally, like you started to see last season, that you are going to see Andy Reid go vertical, maybe more than he's ever gone in his career. That's what I expect.
Well, and I would argue that it's a question of whether or not it's Andy going vertical or it's the QB going vertical, because I think the routes have been there in the past and they just haven't been thrown.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is flooding the zone for verticals.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? And we saw that a little bit with Smith when he finally started to let loose.
Yep.
Again, because Pat Mahomes was around. But I think we saw that from my recollections, and I didn't chart it or anything. But I thought we saw more of that in 2017 than we'd seen ever before from Andy Reid. And I am saying whether he calls it or not is still a factor in whether the play gets run.
True. Fair enough. Well, that is it.
I have one that somebody hit me before we sign off. Steve Brashear wants to know what game are we looking most forward to next season? All of them?
Honestly, I wish I would have known that question was coming because I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Oh, well, that's fair, because I think there's a couple that are going to be really, really interesting. Clearly, there's all the division stuff. I think in terms of a battle, I'm looking forward to see what Andy Reid versus John Gruden becomes. And you can say all you want to say about the personnel decisions and all the stuff that's going to go on there. And that's perfectly fair. For me, the game that I'm most looking forward to is seeing the Patriots again on primetime.
I just looked at my schedule and that was the one that popped out in my head before I said anything. But I wanted to verify that there wasn't anybody else on the schedule that was that big. And to me, yeah, you're right. I don't think that there is another game. Patriots on Sunday Night Football in October, Pat Mahomes starting. That's going to be a fantastic game in my opinion.
I agree.
And unfortunately we won't be there, but
not that one. We'll be at someone, though, and we will let you guys know well in advance what game or games we may be attending this year.
Yeah, and I'll have to see if I can decide to go to a game with Ryan again after last year.
What's up, man? If you don't like fun, don't go with me.
Oh, it's more like recording a podcast as we leave at 10:30 at night is, that was a little rough. It was a lot of fun, though.
It's always challenging.
It was a lot of
fun.
This
time we'll just do live from the stadium seats or something. We'll come up with something, folks.
Ooh, that'd be good. Although I will admit, our show with Matt Derrick, while we're all sitting there looking at each other, was pretty cool, too. So,
very true. And we'll see if I can come up with another prediction that comes true as we're sitting there in warm-ups.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That is it for today. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back soon.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.